You know, I can only say this. I can't prove it to you, but time will prove it. Something has shifted in the atmosphere over this house. I'm distinctly aware that God has changed the time and the season for us. Now, I know some of you might think, well, what's he talking about? What's he been drinking? What's he been smoking? I'm telling you, the timings of God and the seasons of God are upon us. And I know it's the time to move, and I see the willingness and the momentum. I see the scent, I smell the scent of water. And it's running water. And it's a water, if you track it back, it comes from the throne. The river flows from the throne, out into the earth, through the church, into the saints of God, out into the communities. Yes? So when you smell water, you've got to find out where it's coming from. If you can hear water flowing, you'll always look to the source, won't you? If you're in your house and you hear water, if it's not coming from the tap, you're in trouble, aren't you? Yeah. Right. So you'll always try to go to the stop tap. But the stop tap's not the source. The stop tap is just the stop tap. But the source goes right. We had a problem in our house, and still have potential of the problem in our house, where a mouse bit through the stop tap. How do you fix the stop tap? How do you turn the water off? The water board cannot find how to turn our water off. And it goes all the way back. If you follow the line, it goes all the way back to Wright Robinson High School from where I live. Now, anybody knows my area, I know you guys know that area. That's a long way from my house. Any one of those, on any stretch, the stop tap could be there, and they don't know where it is. And I've got to pay £1,000 to get this kit that freezes this pipe, so that it freezes it, so that it can, a new one can be put in. So right now we've got a clamp over it. And I'm just praying, it's like, just hold it back, Lord, hold it back until I get this canister. Yeah. But that's going to cost Carol and I £1,000. Now hopefully we might be able to sell the machine afterwards, because you've got to buy this machine. Now, we are looking at other ways, and we think we've found another one, but that's the problem. The water has a source. If you smell water, it always has a source. Not HP, but source. And I sense that God, the water, there's a scent of water in the house. And but what I want to do is open up the pipes so that the flow can get faster, clearer, and clearer and cleaner. Amen? We don't want to restrict the water that's flowing. We want to release the water that's flowing. Some of you said amen. The rest still haven't, the word of the Lord still hasn't come to you. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus says to Peter that you are Peter. And on this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. This scripture is probably one of the most ignored scriptures I've come across. And it's ignored by many, many pastors. The Catholic Church don't understand this scripture, because they think Peter is, the church is built on Peter. No. What Christ was referring to is, the church is built on material. Rock is a material. The church is built on rock, solid. Rock isn't easily moved. So the church has to be built on material. Okay? So if we knock this place down and we rebuilt again, there would be new materials brought onto this site. We wouldn't have the materials we have now. We would have new upgraded materials where we could get a Wi-Fi signal anywhere in our building, unlike this one. So we have to ask ourselves, if we agree with that statement that God is going to build on material, and Peter was the material that God could build a church through, we need to understand first and foremost that no pastor should build a church. Jesus says, I'll build my church. So pastors shouldn't be building churches. Pastors should be building people. Because people are the material. So let's ask, do we understand that? So if people are the material, you are the material that God is building. Do you understand that? See yourself as material that God needs to build his church through. God has to work with flesh and blood. And that is imperfect material. But God sees it's redeemable material, it's workable material, and it's purifiable, if that's a word. It's material that can be purified. And it can be redeemed. It can go through, when going through trials and tribulations, we can get gold out of, out of coal. We can get gold out of mining. We can get silver and copper out of mining. It's in there, but the material's in there, but you've got to do some work to get it, pull it out, extract it, purify it, so it can be used. And all around us is evidence of those materials coming out the mines. And in the book of Job, it tells us about God's put all the secret things in the earth, and he knows where it all is. And God's put the secret things inside the church. And he knows where the materials are. He knows where the man or where the woman or where the couple or the family who can redeem and be used and be salt and light. He knows where you live. Because Acts tells us, Acts 17 I think it is, or 19, it tells us it's God who chose where we should live. So God knows where you live, he knows the materials in your street, and he looks to you to be the material. But he has to work on you to extract the material. And here's the point of your Christian walk. If God can't work in you, he can't work through you. And working in you is not just you coming to church and listening to me or whoever it is speak. The work, you come here, get your portion, you as you work with it, God works with you. But if you don't work with your portion, God has nothing to work with you. So all you'll find yourself is you standing before him saying, Lord, I need this, Lord, I need that, Lord, I need this, Lord, I need that. And you will only ever look to God as a beneficiary. And God says, but I have no materials inside you to work. But God, you meet all my needs. Okay, you tell me what I am and who I am, it's great, but how come you won't let me work inside of you? The materials are inside you. On you, Veronica, I can build a church. On you, Nisa, I can build a church. And God can speak to any one of us like that and say, on you, I can build my church. But the material I need is on the inside. And I need to come and speak to you and get on the inside of you so I can extract the material so we can build. Does that make sense? So he says to Peter, you're the material. You're the material. Now, if I ask you, if you are hearing that, what material would you consider yourself to be? Here I am, Lord, use me. And then God says, okay, let's have a look at the material on the inside. Let's take a closer look and let's look at what kind of material is actually on the inside of you. Are you all weatherproof material? Are you all weatherproof material? Most of us are not all weatherproof material. Some of us are just summerproof. I like the summer. This summer's been fantastic. I can wear a t-shirt, I can wear shorts. I've not had to put the fire on. It's great. I love it. Lord, let it continue. Bypass winter. Keep us in this zone. If this is global warming, I like this part. Are you all weatherproof material? I'm sure you think you are, but the reality is you're not. You're not. I want to be, I hope to be, but I'm really not an all weatherproof guy. We used to have a field in school called the all weather pitch, remember? It was a shale pitch. And basically you can play football on all weathers. And so you started playing football on it and you realise it wasn't an all weather pitch. I'll decide whether I want to play on it or not. And it's an all weather proof material. AstroTurf is meant to be an all weather material. Would you class yourself as being playable? Or are you circumstantial? Are you playable? Can God move you into areas quickly? Or do we have to have a song and dance about everything? Seriously. If God says something, how many times does he have to say it before we do it? Are we pliable? Would you class yourself or consider yourself to be endurable material? Are you endurable? Oh Lord, I can take when someone says something bad about me. And then you mull it over in your mind. And you commit murder in your mind. You're not endurable then, are you? Are you brittle material? A little bit of heat and all of a sudden, you're brittle. You snap, you fall apart. Some of you are, some of us are. Are you short life material? You know, I can say this because hopefully there's nobody from China in here. Are your materials come from China? Because a lot of junk comes from China. That's why it's cheap. Or are you what we call a resistant material? Do you resist everything that comes your way? Do you resist good news? Do you resist teaching? Do you resist correction? Do you resist a new idea? Do you resist change? Do you resist challenge? Do you resist breaking with tradition? Are you resistant material? Oh, there's so many different kinds of material sat in this room today. And God wants all weather Christians. He wants all weather Christians. There's four seasons. That's if we're lucky. But God, you and I will go through many seasons. God tells me to preach the word in and out of season. How do I know what's in and out of season? Your response. Your response will tell me what season I'm in. I may know I've got the word of the Lord, but your response tells me you're out of season, but the word I've got is in season. And then there's other times when your response is greater than my preaching. True. Or Phil's preaching. Let's put Phil's preaching there. Or Paul's preaching. Sometimes your response is greater than our preaching. And that's okay for a season. But that can't always be the case. The word must always be in season, but we're told to be prepared for in and out of season. The word in us must always be in season. So here we go. You know, one of the most shocking conclusions I have made many, many times, and Phil and I have often talked about it, and I think we may have even talked about it with Paul, is this is my shocking conclusion. I'm going to share with you. It is amazing how far we can build the church if we exclude God. We don't need God to build church. Huh? What do you mean? If I took you on a mystery tour of many churches, you will see less and less of God in many, many churches. You will have no Holy Spirit. You've got it down to organization, management, and communication. And you tell me it's spiritual. You don't need God in a church to assemble people and talk to people. But you sure need God if you're going to minister to people. You see, the biggest mistake on planet Earth right now in the church is too many people call church organization. And the moment you see a church as an organization and not as a church, you'll treat it like an organization, but you'll try and bring it into a church. Now, I know that's gone over your head to some degree, but you cannot. It's the church. It's not an organization. Jesus didn't say, I'll build my organization. He said, I'll build my church. He was very specific. It was the first time Peter had heard it. Church. Church is what Christ is building. Church is what Christ is returning for. Church is the material, not organization. A church needs organization inside it, but it's not an organization. It's a church. Because he called it a church. Does that make sense? We are not an organization. We're part of the Assemblies of God. That is an organization. The Assemblies of God is not a church. It's an organization that exists to support churches. Does that make sense? So when, if you can build without God, then people will do that. And they'll convince themselves this is God. Because they're Christian. Let's look just for a second in Genesis. Go in your Bible to Genesis 11. Look what people can do without God. Do you know, many of you can go to university, can be successful, let's look at all the professions in here, whether it's an architect, whether it's events, whether it's, I don't know, whatever your profession is. You don't need God to do those jobs. Why? Because there's people in your work who don't know God doing them. Is it okay? Right. So, the world needs an architect. It doesn't need a Christian architect. I'm sorry, it doesn't. The world needs architects. Now, if someone is an architect, someone who is a Christian and their job is an architect, now God has a different man on the inside. But we don't need a Christian architect, we need a Christian on the inside who in their vocational field can influence his office. Do you understand that? But I don't need a Christian architect. A Christian doesn't build a better building than an architect. Okay? It's a job. But Christ is invested in the man. The job trained him, but Christ is in the man. Does that make sense? So we don't need Christian. We've got more Christians who run a business than we have Christian businessmen. God needs the Christ in the man. And if Christ is in the man and the man can work with God, then God has a Christian architect or a Christian businessman. But we don't need a Christian to build or to be in business, because others are doing it really well, better than some Christians, in fact many Christians. So he says in Genesis 11, and they said, point that out, underline that, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city. This is architecture. Let us build ourselves a city. Are they Christian? No. Let's build ourselves a city with a tower. Now they're specific. They want a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens. That's the focus. The heavens is their focus. Their objective is to build a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens. They're trying to get to the heavens the conventional way, not the spiritual way. You see this? So many of us are trying to build something that reaches to the heavens. Well, why would you want to reach to the heavens when the heavens are not involved? Why are you trying to touch something rather than let God be involved from the inception? So he says, we want to build a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down. So he's showing that he's not part of what they're doing. Okay? He's not part of what they're doing. He came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The project's going on. The material's on the ground. But it's not redeemable material. The Lord said, watch this. If as one people speak in the same language, if as one people speak in the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. I tell you again, it's possible to build a church without God. It's possible to gather people. Remember what I said? Jesus said, I'll build my church. So Jesus has a very different way and different understanding of what church is, the end result is, than many people who just gather people, preach, and think they're building church. Jesus, if you're going to build church, you've got to do it the Jesus way. And Jesus has to be involved. Because he's the model. He's the pattern. You're the material. You build the material according to the pattern. He's the pattern. Right? But when you're just gathering people and organizing people and managing people, building a name for yourself, he's not involved. So people are not built. But it's all done under the name of a church. So he says this. The Lord said, if one people speak in the same language, they have begun to do this, then there's nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Now here's the distinction. Let us go down and let's go and kick the materials apart. Let's now go and show them that I, the Lord, am the builder. And what you're building is not of me. So I'm now about to go and strike it, and I'm going to hit it in the center aspect, which is understanding. I'm going to take away understanding from their midst. And when there's no understanding, your building projects are erratic. When there's no understanding, your building projects are erratic. Why? Because you, with no understanding, there is no concept of laws and principles. Nisa, if you didn't understand architecture, what would be the result of our city? Man would build according to his own way. He would bypass laws. Health and safety would be completely useless. He would always go the cheapest route. He wouldn't build the right depth of foundation. He'd build any shape, any size, as long as he could make money. True? And the whole city would be subject to collapse. Any shaking of the earth, the whole lot's coming down. We see that around the world. When I was in Manila, they took me out to this place between Manila and Baguio, and they showed me that this whole people had just built houses on this mountainside. And overnight, 700 people lost their lives. The whole mountain just collapsed. Now, I'm sure someone did a soil survey before they all decided to start building, but no. The whole lot went, boom. And I went to see it, and it turned out to be, I'm going to call it a refugee camp by the time I got there. They were all living in tents and looking for the government to give them aid. 700 people displaced in one go. But in Philippines, you can see people displaced living in central reservation. So you can see how quick the government are not going to move. So the Lord came down. He said, let us go down together and let's confuse their language so they will not understand each other. One of the prime materials God needs you and I to have is understanding. God wants you and I to have understanding. People who do not understand God's ways will not understand his acts, will not understand his words, and they will do their own things because they don't understand it. Lack of understanding is a curse. And it's also a reflection of rebellion. Do you understand this? So, they said, there's the first thing we need to knock on the head. They said. So what they did was, this is the voice of the corporate collective. This is the voice of the corporate collective. You guys as a congregation can't all just decide and come to the eldership and said, we've decided. We can't just do something and say to you, without ignoring you or communicating to you and listening to you, we need partnership. Eh? It's true? So we need to communicate. We need to listen. We need to hear what you're saying so that everybody's on board. And here, they had just had this was the corporate collective said, we're going to build a city. We're going to build a tower. It's going to reach the heavens. God says, I don't like this idea. I always choose a man I'll speak to, because last week we saw God speaks from, through, to. That's how God does it. Here they said, we're now the voice. So there was no representation and there was no materials on the ground inside the hearts of the people. They said, let's build a city for ourselves. The next part is, why? So that we may make a name for ourselves over the face of the earth. This drive to be successful and famous is what will destroy the church. This drive of ours or yours. This drive to be the most successful in your company will potentially become the runway leading you into despair. Is success wrong? Absolutely not. But there's a way of getting success. There's a way of getting success. Self-promotion is no promotion at all. I didn't arrive in this place, in this position, because I nominated myself. Lord knows before me, many have fought over this. And I didn't fight over it, and I was the one giving it. And I'm never going to fight over it. Why? If God calls me, God has to keep me. If you house me out tomorrow and change the locks on the door, it'll be on your shoulders, on your conscience. It's fine. I still have to look to God and say, okay, God, where are you leading me now? Yeah? The God who called me has to keep me. You know when you order a meal, you pay for it, don't you? You don't order something you can't pay for. Right, when God chose me, I was his meal he can pay for. That's it. Any pastor, if he's called of God, God ordered the meal, God will pay for it. Now, these guys wanted self-promotion and they wanted self-status. Why? Because he says, we want to make a name for ourselves. First thing we need to understand is God is observing everything. God is observing everything that's going on. The psalmist tells us, if I make my bed on the far side of the ocean or the earth, your spirit's there. There's nothing I can't do, you can't do, God has not seen. Nothing. Where can I go from your spirit? The answer is nowhere. Don't try. God is observing everything. God is observing how we build here. I said, God is observing how we build. God is observing how you respond. God is observing the materials. Hence why God is sending more materials. To add strength to the materials we've already got. There are some all-weather materials in here. There are some resistant materials in here. And God will add. So that the house, because God is building his people. If I and we as a leadership primarily focus on building people, God will build his church. But if we build the church and not build the people, God says, that's not what I'm involved in. God's in the people business. So should you. People business is God's business. Not buildings, not meetings. Do we need those things? Yes, but that's not church. Some of you need to remember you are material. And material needs to be assembled. I said material needs to be assembled. Material needs cutting. Material sometimes needs a sharp knife going down it. Material sometimes needs to feel the vibration of the blade. Other times it needs to feel the smoothness of the blade, depending what blade you use. You need to feel the nails going in. You need to feel God extracting the nails. That's material. You need to feel God taking you from one part of the building and putting you on another part of the building. But if your material always lies in that same place, then you're not material. I should be able to take any part of the material and put it where it needs to go. True? Now, don't limit natural material. This is a spiritual house God's building. And God knows a brick is a brick. But you know, a brick can be used for many things. It's still a brick. So, then they said, if as one people speak in the same language, now there's culture. Culture right there. If as one people can speak the same language, in other words, if we can build a culture, and there's so many different cultures in churches today that are not of kingdom. It's gone quiet in this church. So many cultures, you need to understand what culture God is building. Now, if they can begin to do this, then there's nothing that they plan will be impossible for them to do. I say again, it is so possible to build a church without God. If you plan it, you can build it. I didn't say build his church, because he's building his church. But we can call it a church. We can shove a name on it. And we can call people, we can sing songs, we can worship, we can communicate. But we're not building people. We're just gathering people. And the truth is, can I say it? Of course I can say it, because me pastor, most of us just like to gather. And we think that's the righteous thing to do. But it's not the only thing to do. There's more. Here's the interesting thing. Watch this. They themselves knew they had potential. They themselves knew they had skills. They themselves knew of their own abilities, just like many of us. And they also knew they didn't need God, but they wanted to reach the heavens. In other words, they wanted what was up in there. But there's a way. See, you and I are not trying to reach into the heavens. We've got access into the heavens. We're not trying to reach. We're not looking for what's already been found. We're not looking for what's already been revealed. It's already been revealed. We step into it. I close my eyes. I'm in the presence of God. I don't feel it. It doesn't matter. I'm in the presence of God. He tells me of a call on him. He's there. And the longer I stay there and the more I focus, the more I may sense his presence. But I'm in the presence. They had potential. Now let's bring it. Let's flip this. Let's flip this. Most importantly, we as a body of believers, do we understand our potential? Do we understand our potential? Do we understand the giftings in this house? Do we understand the understanding that is in this house? What is it that we understand? What is it what God has put into his people that can be brought out onto the project field so God can assemble? What is inside of us collectively that God wants to use? Because you are the dream center, and on you I can build my church. And you can say, well, first of all, Lord, we have a sense of the dream of the king in our hearts. Right, I can start there. What is it what's in this house? Do you ever look across the room to see what who is sat next to you and what is inside of them? Or are you so full of yourself that you don't see what's around you? Because all the material is here to create the momentum and the movement we need, and then God will add to us. It's easy to add something when it's moving. And all the materials are in this room. Even the young ones have material. Wow, have they got material? And sometimes they think, well, the old ones won't listen to us anyway. That's not true. We want to listen to you. And we've got to create pathways to listen to what you think. But we also want you to know what we think. And let's find. We want this church to be full generational. Amen? But everyone has potential in this house. God has put us here. Well, I'm here because my dad brought me. Good. Your dad brought you, but now you must make a choice. I'm here because my dad brought me. I don't mean my natural dad. My heavenly father brought me. I didn't want to come here either. God knows I didn't want to come here. And then he says, God says this, okay, I'm so incensed by what they're trying to build. Me, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, we're going to go and come down and we're going to confuse a lot of them. Why? That's not of me. And God that day made a clear distinction. That's not mine. That's not of me. That's evil in that particular context. I'm not saying everything else is evil. I'm saying that context. That's not of me. Their hearts are wrong. There's devils down there. Devils think they can get back into the heavens. Not in your life. And this is what he says. We're going to go down. We're going to confuse. And they'll never build what's in their hearts. Let that never be said of the Dream Center. Let it never be said that the dream of the King cannot be built in this place. What was the point of God giving it us if he can't build it? Hello? This is good, Tony. If God is building his church, then you're the materials. And if you're the materials, then God can build a house. If God is building his house, he needs materials. And if you're the materials, God can build a house. Do you get that? If you're the material. Are you material, Veronica? Amen. And then God can build a house. Then on you, Veronica, I'll build my church. You've got to ask yourself, am I the material? And what kind of material? Or are you materialistic? I'm material. I have deemed myself as being material God can use. And I want to keep on being used. You know, it's one thing being used, and it's another thing to be used. None of us want to be used, but we all want to be used for his glory. I don't want no one to use me, abuse me, but I want to be used for God's glory. I want to build people. I want to see Christ built in you. I want to see Christ built in you. And I know that goes for these two guys. We want to see Christ manifest in you. We want to see the cork come off the bottle and the champagne flow. All that's in the bottle. But it needs a little shaking. It needs a little shaking. We've got to get all the gas out. But let's get to the content. And let's get the gas out of the way. And let's get the content. Let's pour it out. Amen? You see, if there's no material, there's no house. And if there's no house, there's no kingdom. Let's go back. If there's no house, if there's no material, what's the material? God speaks the word becomes the material in your heart. If there's no material, there's no house. If there's no house, there's no body. If there's no body, there's no kingdom. If there's no kingdom, there's no work. If there's no work, there's no expression. If there's no expression, there's no demonstration. All that's gone. In your life, if you're not the material. It's quite daunting. If you can't be the material, there's no house. There's no house, there's no body. There's no body, there's no kingdom. There's no kingdom, there's no expression. There's no expression, there's no demonstration. There's no demonstration, there's no influence. Wow. Just said a lot there. So, the role of leadership is to labour with the Holy Spirit. The church must have the Holy Spirit factor. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals the Father and the Son to us. He is part of the chief architecture of the Godhead. He's the one who knows the plans of the Father. He is the one who gives us the blueprint patterns of how to build. And the first pattern we need is build people. Build people. Don't build buildings. That doesn't mean say we can't have a new building. Doesn't mean say we can't move. But he said, build people. I'm coming back for people, not buildings. You guys need a building, but I need people. People are the material. God needs material. Are you hearing that this morning? God needs material. And the first person we need is the Holy Ghost, because he gave us the Holy Ghost. He gave us the Holy Ghost. And he will tell you what is to come. He will be the inspirer, the motivator. He'll be the power, the fuel, the fire. And then we come to this banner. As the fire of the Holy Spirit falls, every eye will see. Now look at the materials. Every eye will see. Ear will hear, heart will capture, mind will perceive, and finish it off. The Holy Ghost is the key factor for us. We don't just shove things on walls, you know, to decorate it. Because if we just wanted to shove things on the wall, we'd shove good pictures of me, Paul and Phil. We're the three remaining Beatles left. We don't know what happened to George. No, we put what God is saying. These part of the pillars. So, every now and then, look around you. The walls are speaking. There'll never be silence in this house. So the role of the leadership is to co-labor with the Holy Ghost. The role of the people is to partner with the Holy Ghost. The role of the people is to partner with the Holy Ghost. And as we both partner with the Holy Ghost, we become the material in his hand. Amen? We become. In other words, when you become materials, this is what happens. Discipleship takes place. Discipleship takes place, not church attenders. Why? Because discipleship is the first level of the factory of the material now beginning to be put in position. Oh, it's gone quiet. Discipleship. We must always make disciples. Disciples. Because that's where Christ is formed. The material allows Christ to be formed on the inside. I said the material means you allow Christ to form on the inside of you, and you allow someone to help you do that. See, when we're younger, or not even so much younger, because this gentleman proves my point. It's not only the younger go to university. Anyone who's got learning, anyone who wants to learn, goes to university to learn. True? As long as you've got a desire and you've got some competence about you, you go to university to learn. But guess what? University is not the only place to learn. And we're most eager to go to university to learn to get a career, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we don't think about learning in the spiritual. We think, well, if you just come to church. And most times you're not listening in anyway. Or you're listening part. You like the part when I speak, and you don't like the part when these two don't speak. Or you like the part they speak, and then you think, no, it's not him again, is it? Don't mean you two, mean me. So they. And all of a sudden, he's at it again. Banging the drum again. Don't tell me you haven't said these things. I'll take your silence to protect the guilty then. You know I love you. Disciples. Disciples need to be mobilized. Not sanitized. Not contained. They need to be mobilized. And that's why only a small percentage of the church will ever become disciples. Because we reach a certain age and we say, it's for the young'uns. The young'uns are saying it's for the old'uns. The OLDs. Now you've got to remember, in the eyes of a young person, anyone who's not young is old. That means we're all gone. So, Haggai chapter 1. We'll come in. Well, we're not, but I won't lie. I've been told, Phil, I can't keep saying the wheels are down. God is saying something to us as a house, material. But we must understand timing. We must understand timing. Now, let me be sober for a second. If I asked some of our older, distinguished members here this morning how old they were, and let's just say they were 75 upwards, and then I asked them a sobering question, how long do you think you've got left? It's quite a sobering thought. They can't answer it. Just like a young person who thinks they've got all the life in front of them could be cut down tomorrow. Breath is fleeting. The Bible says. Now the thing is that you become more conscious the older you become that your clock is ticking. But the younger you are, you think there is no clock. There is no clock. And then I say to you, you've got 4 years in university. And then all of a sudden, 4 years, all of a sudden seems like you've been incarcerated for life. But it's a period of learning. And hopefully you qualify, and if you don't qualify, guess what? You've either got to go and find something else, or you've got to go and do it again and increase your debt. But if I said to some of the OLDs, how long you got left, they'd say, maybe... And I don't want to put a time on it. But the older you get, the more conscious you are that I need to live every day. And living every day is not just waking up. That's called surviving. Living every day means I do something with purpose. I get up. Life means something to me. Whether it's with my family, that's a purpose. And you can have multi pleasures in your life, all having a purpose. Family's a good purpose. Work is a good purpose. Building legacy is a good purpose. Serving Christ is a good purpose. We need purpose as we get older. Even more so. Because we're aware the day's long. The day's long without something in it. We need something to focus on. Is that true? Of course it's true. So Haggai says this. This is what the Lord says. Haggai chapter 1. Two, these people, we're back to these people again. We're back to these people. They've all, when you listen to the common people, you're going to go crazy. If you listen to the media right now, you'll go crazy. Listening to the consensus is not a good thing. Because it depends who's feeding the source. It depends who's feeding the information. True? He said, this is what these people say. The time has not yet come for us, for the house of the Lord to be built. Now, in this particular case, they're building a physical house. But guess what? The people are still the material. The people still need to build. Now, he tells them, you better get your backsides up to those mountains, take the saw, take the lumberjack, take whatever other tools you've got, and you better cut down some trees because that timber's going to be needed for what's required on the ground. God still requires a house. The material was up in the forest, but the people have said it's not time yet. God wants to build you. But then the resistant material on the ground said it's not time yet. God says, really? So then he goes to Haggai chapter 1:4. He challenges it. Is it really not the time? Is it really not the time to build? And you can see God standing there going, what? Is it really not the time to build? And he's speaking in the face of what they've all said. And he's saying, what? It really isn't the time to build? What makes you think that? What makes you think that this will always be the case and I'll always be happy and content with what I'm seeing? What makes you think that? And it's almost like, don't know. Because he said it, because she said it. No, you all said it. You all believed it. Is it really time for yourselves to be living in your nice houses? Driving your nice cars? Oh, Lord, just bless me. I believe in this prosperity gospel. Prosperity gospel allows me to live in a nice house, drive a nice car, have a nice job, have a nice wife, husband, blah, 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 so I can keep my ordered, expected life. God says, whoa, 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 there's bigger issues here. I called you to be the material. And I told you, seek first the kingdom. And I told you, all these things will be added. There's a way these things come to your life. But first of all, let's have a look at the material. Let's have a look at the material. Let's see what needs adding. Let's see what needs replacing. And then in Haggai chapter 2, 6, he says, in a little while. This is what the Lord says, Almighty, in a little while, speaking of a time to come. And I believe that time has now come. Yes. We are in the period called in a little while. We're in that period right now as a house called in a little while. God has spoke. And in a little while, things are suddenly going to speed up. Yeah. And some of you are going to think, wow, I can't believe what I'm doing. The energy of God. I can't believe the fulfillment this has given me. And you're going to have to pick up pace. Because suddenly you're going to go from still to moving. This is what the Lord Almighty says, in a little while, I will once shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations. Britain is being shook right now. And in the next couple of months, we've got to get ready because there's going to be panic and chaos outside there, but it can't be in here. And I'll shake the heavens, and that's part of what the prophecy came this morning. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. I need the material on the ground. I can't keep having resistance. I can't keep waiting months and months and months and months and months for you to get ready. You get ready in your heart. And then he says this, the people said the time has not yet come. And God's saying, don't make me come down there and bang your heads. Can I bring the word of the Lord to you? Can the hand of the Lord come upon you? Can I lift you up and put you in the valley so you can see what I see? Yeah. Then Haggai chapter 1 verse 13 says this, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave the message of the Lord to the people. It was like I'm doing now. I'm with you, declares the Lord. There's the word we need. I am with you, declares the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, one of the kings, or the governor, I should say, Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua. And I feel my spirit is being stirred. Yes, yes. And then he says this, and Jehoiada's at the high priest, and the spirits of the whole remnant, that's you. Yes. The whole remnant of the people. And they came and began to work. They said, we're the material. And they began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty. Their God. Their God. So the material says, we understand what God's saying. We are the material. We will put the material in God's hands. Because it says there, we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Now I understand, Lord, this is the time for me to be used. And he says, be strong, O Lord, be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, the high priest. Be strong, all you people. Be strong, all you people. Young'uns, be strong, declares the Lord. And work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. Woo! Very quickly, and I will finish on this. Cultural alignment and development is coming to our house. Cultural alignment and development is coming to our house. Cultural alignment, and we'll talk about these in the days. But I'm first putting the seeds down, so when I do start speaking about it, you've heard these words before. Cultural alignment and development in the people is coming to the house. Number two, character and formation of identity will be made clearer. Character and formation of identity will become clearer. Character. God's looking for character. God's looking for formation of identity. We know who we are. But we don't only just know who we are, we have characters to prove it. Hello? Character and identity is formed. Number three, communication must get clearer in every aspect of the house. I'm not just talking about preaching now. I'm talking about how we organize, how we run, how we mobilize. It's got to be better. I said it's got to be better. We've got to look at this. We've got a lot of work to do as leaders. We've got to get the communication flowing. If it's water, then water flows. And water cannot be stagnant. Amen? It's got to be flowing. Communication's got to improve. And here's another one for you all. Doctrinal, theological, and ethical congruence. Doctrinal. We need doctrine. We need theology. We need ethics. We need those things in this house. God is moving by His Spirit, and these are the things God's saying. Step into these, son. These will elevate you to the next position. Now we're taking church to a whole new level. Doctrinal, theological, ethical congruence within. What that means is there is corporate agreement and harmony.
Yes.
Corporate agreement and harmony. They all said, without God, we can do this. In Genesis, they all said, we can do this. We don't need God. But what much can we do with God? We need agreement and harmony. And to get that, we need theology, we need doctrine, and we need ethics. Last one. We need core competence. God cannot trust us in our community if we don't show competence. So we've got to learn in so many areas of our society. And it's a whole new learning curve. And this is why God has to bring other skills in alongside us to help us reach people groups that we have no experience in. So there are some skills in this house and there are other skills that have to be attached. Why? Because God's building His people. Are you the material? Let's stand to our feet. I could go on and on and on. But I won't. Leave them wanting more. That's what the Bible says. The challenge is you without the material, there is no house. Without a house, there is no people. Without the people, there is no kingdom. Without a kingdom, there is no demonstration. Without a demonstration, there's no influence. Are you the material? This is the challenge for you this morning. What kind of material are, first of all, are you the material? What kind of material are you? Be honest with yourself, because you need a change. God is saying, let me add things to you, let me take things from you. I don't just add without taking. But my adding is greater than my subtraction. Let me add things to your life, like willingness, like patience, like suffering. Oh, hey. Now I'm going to make pastor. You're going a bit deep now. Read your Bible. Suffering's part of. Suffering. Are you willing to suffer a little while for Christ? Be discomforted. Are you willing? Are you the material? Come on, raise your hands before the Lord. You are His people now. You are the material. Only you can answer this prayer. Only you can offer yourself up to the Lord. I want to encourage you to offer yourself to the Lord this morning. Come on. Offer yourself and say, Lord, we are your people. I am your material. I am the material. Build your church in me. Build your church in me first. Because if you have good land and good space in me, Lord, I'm confident you'll build a church through me. But can you build one inside of me? This is the question. There's no doubt about it. You've got Jesus in your heart. You're born again. You're saved. The issue is, can Christ build his church in you? Because there's no through you until I go in you. And I know you're in me, Lord, but I don't know what is fully in me. So can you build your church in me? Let that be your first prayer. Lord, build your church in me. I come to you, Lord, as I am. I'm the material, Lord. Lord, it might be flawed, but Lord, I'm asking you to take my material and build your church in me. Lord, I give you permission today to build your church in me. Let the kingdom be expressed inside of me. Let Christ manifest in me. Change my thinking. Change my excuses. Change my reasons. Bring the walls down, O God, within me. And remind me, O God, every time I'm quick to put a wall up. Remind me, O God. I can't, Lord, you can't build your church in me and it continue just as I am, Lord. Things have to change. And by your Spirit, I say, here I am, O God. I'm the material today. Oh, Father. Do you know, as I was praying this week, I'm not going to do it this morning, but I'm going to pray a bit more about it. I really sense that God was saying, I want to baptize the church again with fire. A whole new baptism. A fire. A real fire. So that the people are re-empowered. And I'm really believing that God has empowered you. Some of you are going to have a baptism like you've never had before. There's going to be a fresh fire coming upon us to cleanse the house for a new day. When the fire fell in the upper room, it was a new day. It was in a little while. Go to the upper room. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. They were in a period call in a little while. And they went into that room and tongues of fire came on them. But when they came out of that room, everything changed. And I'm really believing that God's bringing us to a baptism. This is our upper room right now. God is preparing and a fire's about to break. And when that fire breaks, I don't know what it will do. But I know it's going to be glorious. Amen? So I declare to you today a baptism. We're about to enter a baptism. I'm not of water, but of fire. Amen? So offer yourself. God is going to breathe his fire and clean his materials up so that the church will go into glory. And the Peters amongst you will stand up and you will begin to proclaim the boldness of God in a way that you've never done it. And people outside are going to listen to a voice. And there's going to be a new message up on your lips. Why? Because God is about to use his material. I tell you, it's a new day. So get ready for the battle. It can break out at any moment. Amen? Any moment, the fire could just roll. And we could be here all day. We could be here all night when the fire rolls. Woo! But it's coming. The fire's coming. I want to talk to the Lord a bit more about it. Pray a bit more about it. Now you guys know you can get in on the act. Just as the Lord was speaking to me this week about that. Baptism, a fresh fire. Yes. And I thought, oh Lord, yes. Touch your people. Let tongues of fire rest on your people. Gifts are going to come out. Materials are going to come out. New giftings are coming out. Amen? But I want to get you in the atmosphere and get you ready for that baptism. Why? Because I don't want resistant materials. Oh, God doesn't want resistant materials, you'll say. But I want you to just say, Lord, touch me again. Let the fire of your spirit, and I want it for you young people so desperately. I want you to touch what we've been touching. What we've touched, we want you to touch it so it now becomes your testimony. Because when God touches you with his fire, it will be an experience you've never had. And it's one you'll never forget. Oh, I remember when I got baptized in fire. I've been baptized in water and I've been baptized in fire. And I know what the fire feels like. And it's a glorious fire. It's not like natural fire. But I'll talk to you more about that another day. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for what you deposited. And I pray, oh God, that the enemy will not steal the seeds. But, oh God, each one will take the seeds and feed on the word. In the mighty name of Jesus. And the people of God said,
amen.
Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord. Amen. God bless you all.